We'll be looking at several passages. Of course, we're studying about prayer, the voice of faith. The basis of it is a book written by Charles B. Hodge, a gospel preacher. There was, I forget how many chapters and that our speakers have taken, and some have used the material Charles Hodge provided, some have not. But they've taken chapters. And there was one that wasn't taken that I thought, well, that is something I would love to study. And it's about how Jesus prayed. How Jesus prayed. I think it was William Barclay, a commentator, that wrote in one of his commentaries that there are two words in Scripture. Two words in Scripture. If there were no other instructions about prayer, that these two words should be enough to cause us to realize how important prayer is, how vital it is. Those two words, he says, are Jesus prayed. There's no other instruction. Just the fact that Jesus prayed should underscore to us just how important it is. In the gospel accounts, there are many different references to when Jesus prayed. Charles Hodge gave a number. I want to ask you, if you have an idea, it'll be a guess unless you've read it and counted, but how many times in the gospel accounts do you think it records that Jesus prayed? Anybody else? 25. Hey, there's spectrum there. Now, what I don't know, it's not 300. It's closer to 25. Charles Hodge's words are more than 20. More than 20. What I don't know is he, as you know in the gospel records, there are some things that all three gospel writers will point to. They'll cover the same event, if you will. And I don't know if in that more than 20 references, if he is counting like the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer that Jesus prayed there, four accounts, if he's counting that as one or four different ones. But he says more than 20 references. But we recognize that not everything is recorded in Scripture. But I think the words that we do have, in fact, some of the words that are used in these references to when Jesus prayed would indicate that he prayed all the time. He prayed very often. In fact, remember that word, often. So I want to look at some of these references, and I love to look at the context to see what was happening when we read about these references where Jesus prayed. So let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to come down to verse 35, but I want to give the context here. The context is in verse 21, we find that Jesus is in Capernaum. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. And on this occasion, he also cast out a demon out of a man. And of course, that got a lot of attention. So more and more, I'm sure, wanted to come see Jesus. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at his miracles. Verse 28, immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. And I'm sure people came to see. They wanted to hear this man and see him perform his miracles. Verse 29 and through 31, we see that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Were any of the apostles married? If Peter had a mother-in-law, guess what? He was married. So yes, Peter had a wife. His mother-in-law was sick. Jesus healed her. Look at verse 32. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. So he's in Capernaum. Mark says the whole city came together. You get the idea? Jesus is attracting a lot of attention. And there's people coming out of the woodwork, if you will, coming to see him and to hear him. So he's got all of this pressure and all of this attention focused upon him, which is wonderful because he's able to teach. He's able to demonstrate the power of God to show that he is the promised Messiah. Watch what happens, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Do you get the idea that Jesus wanted some time by himself, specifically to pray? I intended to look this morning as to what time the sun rose. Does anybody know? About 5:30. Pop, you weren't out on the water, were you? Okay. And some of you, I'm sure, get up before the sun does most every morning, going to work. Some of you I know, my dad being one of them, that they get up before the sun comes up whether they want to or not, whether they want to get up. But it's early. And a lot of us, I'm sure, if our eyes are open and we see it's still dark, if you're like me, you're thinking, great, get to sleep a little bit longer. But Jesus got up while it was still dark. Remember, the crowds had been thronging to him. That's how important it was to him that he find this solitary place and pray to God. In fact, look, verse 36. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Where's Jesus? Where'd he go? When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So early in the morning, the crowds are already looking for him. Don't you think Jesus knew that was going to happen? So that's why early he went to a solitary place and prayed. So one of the times that Jesus prayed was early in the morning. Here's a quote from Charles Hodge that I like. He met God before he served man. He met God in prayer before he served man. Anything else you want to point out about this text? Mark chapter 1. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 to see another time when Jesus prayed. I love this text. It's always intriguing to me because Jesus is talking to a couple of disciples who are on their way home to Emmaus. This is after his death, burial, and his resurrection. And they're confused about everything. Thing that's gone on, and Jesus kind of walks up to him and starts in on the conversation. Now, verse 16, we need to understand, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Does your Bible read differently there? Their eyes were restrained. Holden, okay? Holden. What does that suggest to us? Who caused them not, well, kind of giving away what I think about it. This seems to be something that God caused, right? God close their eyes for a little bit here so that they would not recognize Jesus. Perhaps Jesus did that. And so they're walking along, and Jesus acts like he doesn't know what they've been talking about and what's going on in Jerusalem, and he says, "What's happened?" And they say, are you just a stranger? You must be a complete stranger if you don't know what's gone on in Jerusalem the last few days. And so they talked about it. And it's interesting in this account, when the eyes of these two men are opened. Does anybody know before we read it? When their eyes are open and they recognize who Jesus is? Yes. Look at verse 30 with me. Luke 24, verse 30. It came to pass, see, they invite him in. Abide with us. It's toward evening. The day is spent. So Jesus went home with them. Verse 30. It came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Blessed and broke it. Blessed here means he prayed. Jesus got up early to pray. He'd also pray before meals. See, that wasn't just a custom we do in our homes. Even Jesus prayed before meals. Okay? Verse 31, then their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. And Mr. G pointed out, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, Jesus had done some explaining to them as they walked along the way about how these Old Testament scriptures had pointed to these events that occurred in Jerusalem just a few days before. But their eyes were opened. And I don't think it's just because Jesus prayed, but that was the time when their eyes were open. When Jesus prayed before they ate. And you can run some other references. The feeding of the 5,000 men, not including women and children. We can turn over to Matthew 14 and see that after he gave the five loaves and the two fish, after he broke them and miraculously multiplied those things, and his disciples passed out all the food before they ate, he prayed. Prayed early in the morning. He prayed before he ate. Let me ask you, this is just an opinion. When you... You and your family, you and church family, go to a restaurant. Do you think we should pray together before we eat or not? The reason why I ask, and I don't know if you've debated this in your mind or not. I don't want to, and none of us want to be like the hypocrites praying on the street corner so as to be heard by men. Right? Jesus had something to say about that. But on the other hand, is it appropriate? See, Terry and Brother Greg. Brother Greg? Okay. Mitch? Is that my phone? No. Got that same ringtone. Jesus' instruction was given to address motive, isn't it? So what is our motive when we pray? We always need to ask that question. You know, I don't think this would be good if my family and I were at the restaurant and I said, I'm going to lead a prayer, and I stand up and I pray loudly and I say, and Father, forgive these people at this next table who didn't pray before they ate. I think there's an issue there, isn't there? But if it's your custom, if you normally pray together before a meal, and you do so not to call attention to yourselves, but you and the people that you're with, if you desire to have a prayer, and it's just for you, it can be encouraging. It can clean up some conversations around you. It might make a favorable impression. Or it might say, well, they think they're good over there, don't they? Just a thought question. But let me jump to this right quick, although this is going to be a constant theme that we'll see as we study the prayer life of Christ. From what I have read, it seems that most of his praying is done privately. That has really been underscored to me as I've prepared for this lesson. Most of his praying is done privately. It's not to say that he didn't pray publicly, praying for the food before they ate it. And there's other references to where he and the disciples prayed, but most of the time, he's praying privately. He's praying privately. How about this for an application? If the only time we pray is before we eat, should we examine that? Because it was not the only time Jesus prayed by any stretch of the imagination. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look with me to verse 12. Luke 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. Sometimes he'd get up early. He'd pray before meals. At times he would pray all night. All night. If you keep reading, You'll see what happens the following day is that he selects the 12 apostles from among his disciples. And I wonder, many have wondered, was that a main subject of his prayer the night before as he selected these apostles? But nevertheless, he spent all night in prayer to God. I'm sure many, if not all of us, have spent a lot of time in prayer. Have you ever had something weighing on your heart so much where you can't sleep? And you spend that time in prayer. In fact, let me give you some encouragement. If you wake up during the night, you see, hey, it's still dark out here. That means I can go back to sleep. But then you can't. Take that time to pray a little while. There's an opportunity right there. But here we find Jesus' prayer life, praying all night, Luke 6, verse 12. And as I said, usually Jesus prayed alone. Luke chapter 5, let's go back one chapter here. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. And it's the same situation here where Jesus is gaining in popularity. There's a bunch of people that want to see him and hear him and be near him. And we'll see that he has to withdraw himself to be alone with God to pray. Luke 5 verse 12 beginning. It happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Then the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So there's that term, great multitudes. It reminds me of that occasion, you remember, when Jesus was thronged by the multitudes and this woman who had that blood flow reached out and touched him. And he said, who touched me? And his disciples are saying, what do you mean who touched you? There's people all around you. But he was talking about that, the touch that woman who was seeking to be healed by reaching out and touching him. So he's got people pressing all around him, and he's teaching and he's healing these people. Same, similar circumstance. But verse 16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I just notice often is a word that is italicized in this version. Italicized, indicating that translators supplied it to give the meaning. Verse 16. And I think what is happening here. Well, I read this statement. This was in a study Bible about this word often. That the Greek construction indicates a continual practice and could also be translated was regularly withdrawing and praying. So here's a reference to where, yes, Jesus withdrew himself and prayed, but the language always also indicates that he did this regularly, often. Often. And if we would learn from Jesus about praying, we need to pray often. Do your eyes have to be closed when you pray? I've told you before, some of you, I'm going to tell you again. I had a very good friend in Fort Deposit. H.T. Bargainier was his name. He was in his 80s when I was there, but he was a good friend. He would come by the house unannounced quite often just to see what was going on. And sometimes he'd come into the door and he'd call me Sue. You know why? Because he happened to catch me washing dishes. He'd say, "Well, Sue?" At other times, he'd call me King, and I made reference to King. I appreciate those of you who have called me King once or twice. I'm kidding. King David. He'd call me King sometimes. And sometimes Mr. Tug, that's what we'd call him. When I first met him, he said, "It's not Tug, it's Tug, like sugar. It's Tug." So Mr. Tug. Sometimes we'd travel together up to Montgomery to make a visit in the hospital from Fort Deposit. He'd say, "Now, King or Sue," depending on whether or not I've been washing dishes, "you keep your eyes open, because believe me, you wanted me to drive." He couldn't see very well. So I'd be driving. He said, "Now, King, you keep your eyes open and on the road, but lead us in a prayer." And he'd be over on the passenger side, and he'd be bowing his head and closing his eyes, and I'd be praying with my eyes open. And that's always made an impression on me. Why not pray while I'm driving down the road with my eyes open, but my heart's bowed? Some of you have told me that you pray on the way to work. Some travel a long distance to go to work. They get a lot of praying in. Pray at stoplights. You may want to pray with at least one eye open then. But there are always times in which to pray. Any other times come to mind that would seem like odd times to pray? When you're waiting in a checkout line at the grocery store. That sometimes can be a wait, especially when they bring 50 items to the 20-item line. You get the idea. But he often withdrew. Notice the language, he withdrew. He wanted to get away from the crowds, didn't he? He wanted to be alone as he talked to God. And he would tell his disciples, Matthew chapter 6, "Where should we go and pray?" Some versions have solitary place. Some versions have closet. But a solitary place where you can withdraw from people, where you can withdraw from the cares and concerns of the world and go to God and spend time in prayer with Him. He withdrew to lonely places, desolate places. He sought out places where he would be uninterrupted. Would you say more important or just as vital? Again, if the only time we pray is before we eat, and we study the prayer life of Jesus, shouldn't it cause us to examine ourselves? Won't our public prayers, won't they be more effective and heartfelt and if we're already in the habit of praying privately? More important? I don't know, but vital? What would you say? Yes. Many examples of praying corporately. One that comes to my mind is Acts chapter 12. Peter's in prison. You remember this one? And the church is gathered praying. And I love it because they're surprised when God answers their prayer and the way that apparently they've been praying. Peter, remember, he goes and knocks on the door. Servant girl comes and answers, and she's so amazed by who she sees, she shuts the door and goes back and, hey, Peter's here. And they're saying, they've been praying, by the way, and they're saying, you're crazy. And here's Peter still knocking at the door. Corporate prayer, the church prayed together. They continued steadfastly, Acts 2:42. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, prayer. So yes, many examples of corporate, but also many examples, especially in the life of Jesus, of private prayer. I'm going to have to continue this in another sermon. Let me go to one more and then we'll close. I've heard this one several times. It's been mentioned by previous speakers in this summer series. I want to go back to Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. The passage where disciple comes to Jesus with this request, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. But again, look at the context. The beginning of verse 1. It came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. The only thing I wanted to highlight there is, once again, Jesus has been praying. I can't help but think that disciple has noticed over and over, when they can't find Jesus, don't you think probably they began to say to one another, he must be praying again. And here's one of those occasions where he's been praying again, and this disciple sees just how important prayer is to Jesus, and so he wants the master, teacher, and prayer to teach him how to pray. Folks, there's a lot we can learn from Jesus and his practice of prayer.